My freedom to choose is obvious to me through the decisions I am forced to make alone. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My freedom to choose is obvious to me through the decisions I am forced to make alone. One decision might be you're walking down a road and you find a $100 bill. We talked about this before. Now, my freedom to choose is obvious to me through my decisions I'm forced to make alone. I look at that $100 bill laying on the dirt in the road, and I think to myself, I wonder who lost it. I wonder where it came from. I wonder who it belongs to. That's interesting. Now, you might pick that $100 bill up, or I might pick that $100 bill up, and I might take it to the local constabulary, the local police, and tell them I found a $100 bill on the road. Someone surely lost it and probably will report it. And the policeman says, you're crazy. You should have put it in your pocket and shut up, you know. And I said, thank you. And so I put it in my pocket and I took it. And then I went to another police station. And I said, I found this out on such and such a road, and whoever lost it will probably check and see if it was found. And that police department says, you're a fool. If I had found that money, I would have taken it and put it in my pocket and shut up. So I put it in my pocket, and I went, where next? Well, I put an ad in the paper. Money found on the road at such a location. Whoever can identify the amount will receive it, you know. And so I get a dozen replies. And everyone says a number of things. They send in, like, maybe several applications. One says $100, one says $50, one says $25, one says $10. Now, that's what they all say. And then one says $5 and a $1, you know. But certainly they would realize if they lost $1 or $5, I would certainly not put a $3 ad in the paper to help them find it. Well, many people came who had $100 as, well, that which they lost. So then I had to say, well, what was the serial number on the bill? And of course, nobody knows the serial numbers on their bill. But I figured, look, there are three of you who had said $100 and me. I found it. So what do you say we each take $25 and enjoy it? Well, it's my money. I thought, oh, it is? Huh? Well, you lost it. And you had a number of other people who said they found it. Now, who is it that it belongs to? We can't divide up $100 into three people very well, so what are we going to do? What's your suggestion? Well, I lost it. Give it to me. And what's your suggestion? Well, I lost it, give it to me. And what's your suggestion? Oh, hell. Let's have a party. And so I say, well, now, what about the other two of you who lost it and you want it back? You want to have a party? And they say, well, better than not having anything out of it, you know. And then I say, well, will the real person who lost it stand up? I mean, because you're all perfectly free to say you're the real person, but will the real person just stand up and say it, and then we can have a party on it on you. Is that okay? And so one person says, well, I lost it, but if everybody else says they lost it, they might have lost something too, you know, who knows? And the others didn't lose it, and so they keep their mouth shut. Now, my freedom to choose is obvious to me through the decisions I'm forced to make alone. We found the money alone, and we wanted to return it to its rightful owner, That in itself is a good decision and nice. But how do you find the rightful owner of something that's lost? Especially something that is not too terribly important. Now, if that $100 was important to that person would come up with a comment, golly, I was going to pay my medical bill. You know, I was on the way to the doctor's office to pay it, and it was $100, and I lost it, but I guess I'm out, you know. And the rest of them say, well, I just lost it, you know, and this time, you know, they had nothing in their mind. And so the truth is pretty obvious. And so what do? I mean, you're having fun doing this. You know, I'm having fun doing this. And so I say to them, now look, I feel that this guy lost it. What do you think? Well, probably, you know. So why don't we just give this guy the $100 and then let's each join together and I'll toss in $100 and we'll have a party. And they say, gee, that's mighty generous of you. No, it's just I learned a lesson today. I learned a lesson which is very important. And the lesson is keep my nose out of other people's business. If you find something that doesn't belong to you, don't take it. You see, my freedom to choose is obvious to me through the decisions I make that I'm forced to make alone. Now, if I had just left that $100 alone, I wouldn't be out the $5 I put for an ad in the paper. I wouldn't be out the trip to the different police departments, making me lose entire confidence in the police department. Because they said, I would have put it in my pocket. Well, you know, if that's the kind of policeman we have, that they would take something that doesn't belong to them, and that's their business, not to take things that belong to them, and to stop people from taking things that don't belong to them. You understand that? That's your business. And yet, they would say that. You know, I mean, if they didn't say it, they would think it, perhaps, you know. Now, it's very distracting, what do you say, it's very discouraging when you run across that sort of circumstances in other people. But why would you run across that circumstance in other people? Because every one of you thought the policeman could likely say that. If he didn't say that, he could have thought it. And if he could have thought it, he could have done it. And you see, that's very discouraging. But we don't let anything like that discourage us. We don't stick our nose in areas where we're going to be discouraged. And that's one of those places. If we find something that doesn't belong to us, leave it alone. If it's a little baby or something like that, certainly you pick him up and take him to the hospital or take him to some place where he can get care. If it's a dog, you don't leave him wounded by the side of the road. You take care of him. If it's something that needs care, that's another thing, you know. But if it's something that doesn't belong to you, like money or a box, you know, with whatever is in it, or anything, just leave it alone. Because it can only bring you a lot of concern. Now, why do you create yourself finding something that's going to bring you a lot of concern? We do that, you know. We're all looking for the free lunch. We're all looking for something for nothing. And we never get something for nothing because there's our integrity that is always on the line and we have to pay for it. If it doesn't belong to you, leave it alone. If there's a $1,000 bill in the road, leave it alone. It's tough. If there's a $1 million bill in the road, when would you ever see a $1 million bill in the road, or when would you ever see a $1 million bill, period? But leave it alone. It doesn't belong to you. And you know, as I drive down the freeway, I see clothing that has flown off of somebody's head, like a hat that maybe they're in a convertible or something and it flew out, and a sweater that flew to the side of the road, or a pair of trousers or a skirt or whatever. And I think to myself, gee, should pick that up. And then I think to myself, sure, you pick up something like that, which is none of your business, and you certainly don't need it, and you certainly don't want it. It is not something that's important to you, but why would you do it? If you do it, that clothing could very well be diseased. That person who was wearing it, who could very well have some disease that's communicable, and you pick it up and you wear it before washing it or even after washing it, but you wear it and you could communicate yourself that disease. Now, that is a tough statement, but that's what you deserve. That's what you deserve for stopping and picking up something that doesn't belong to you. You see, we pay a big price every time we do something that's contrary to our nature. Is it your nature to steal? Well, that's stealing. Is it your nature to take something that doesn't belong to you? Well, that's taking something that doesn't belong to you. But it's abandoned by the side of the road. Somebody lost it. Then it's not abandoned, is it? Someone lost it. They may drive that road again looking for that hat that they lost. They may drive that road again looking for whatever it is that they lost. I was driving along, coming from Santa Cruz to San Luis Obispo, and I saw a television set on the side of the road. I saw a chair, and I saw a box of clothing, and I saw a few other things. And I thought, my goodness, you know, somebody's really using it for a dump. And then I saw a car that waved down a truck, and the truck had stopped. And the person in the car was saying, all your stuff is falling off of your pickup truck. You're moving it from one place to another. Ah, you know. And so it was a Mexican family who had tied it improperly on their truck. And this person stopped and said, hey, you're losing everything, you know. And they had no idea that their stuff was being scattered along the freeway. Now, they surely are going to go back and pick up all that they can. The TV probably would not function anymore, but who knows? It could very well function. But they're going to pick up their stuff, and they're going to take it along. And I noticed the TV was the first thing that I saw on the road, and it wasn't on the road. Someone had stopped, picked it up, and set it off to the side of the road. And it was definitely set there. It hadn't fallen there. Someone picked it off the road, probably, and put it there. And maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. But somebody knew that somebody lost that, and they were going to make it available for them to find it if they wanted to come back and find it. Now, I think that's an indication of a deep caring. What doesn't belong to you, leave it alone. Maybe it was nice to set it on the side of the road so it wouldn't get hit by a car, or that it wouldn't hurt a car. And it was set by the side of the road so it could be seen from the road, not hidden in the bushes or anything. It could be seen from the road. And that was a very generous gesture on whoever did that. And I saw that, I thought, my goodness, that's nice. Good fellow, good person, good lady, you know. And what do we think? What do we think? What thoughts go through our mind as we're living? And you see, this is what happens is when I'm forced to make a choice alone. What thoughts go through your mind? What is your attitude? What is your desire? Do you need something that belongs to somebody else? Do you need something that might be very precious and important to somebody else? It's really something. We have to be very careful of the type of attitude that we have about ourselves, because it shows. It shows. My freedom to choose is obvious to me, obvious to me, through the decisions I'm forced to make when I'm alone. I have to make a decision when I'm alone. What am I going to do? Very important. What are you ready to make a decision for now in your life? What are you ready to make a decision now for in your world? You know, in the healing business, which is a great business that we're in here, we are confronted with many wonderful people who have many sincere problems. Some problems of wholeness, cancer, broken legs, diseased bodies, mental attitudes, many things. Some in relationships, some in business finance, business success, business work together. And as we continue in our work here with the Worldwide Healing Ministry and our individual ministerial counseling, we are confronted with many people who do beautiful things. They come to us and we give them statements which are beneficial to accomplishing their wholeness, accomplishing their success, and accomplishing their good in life. Now, as ministers and as practitioners, we could feel a proprietary interest in that, saying, we did it. We spoke our word. We brought this person to a better understanding where it paid off for them handsomely in wholeness, in money, in success, in business, in other things. I can think of many, many, many things where people have become very wealthy with the treatments that I worked with them on. They applied it, but until they had come to me, they hadn't applied it and they hadn't accomplished it. But after coming to me, or coming to the Worldwide Healing Ministry here, they accomplished it. Now, we could very well look at them as they became very wealthy and think to ourselves, gee, they didn't even give us a donation as we spoke our word and prayed for them to benefit themselves. And we think to ourselves, look here, I can point to at least 100 different people, if I chose, and more, who had definite healings. Many who were healed from cancer, death cancer, which was going to take them away, you know, in a matter of days. And because of our healing treatment with them, and because they applied it too, but mainly because they applied it, they were returned to perfect health, their original purity and integrity, and they're doing fine. And never once did they come back and say thank you, because they didn't think we did it. They think they did it, and they did do it, but we were the catalyst. I mean, the car can take you wherever you want to go, but without gas, it doesn't go very far. And we were the gas in their car. We were the gas in their experience to accomplish this. And damn it, they should appreciate it. Well, if we ever have that attitude, if we ever think we should be appreciated for the treatment work that we do or for the loving work that we do in our healing ministry, we should get out of that ministry. Because we are in this ministry to do one thing, to see everyone whole and perfect, starting with ourselves. And if our ministerial work, our practitioner work, is successful and beneficial to people, then it was first beneficial to us. And if we look with pride and a feeling that, you know, we should be appreciated for what we have done, we've got a problem. We've got a big problem. So just remember, don't possess something that doesn't belong to you. Don't ask for credit for something that you did, that you were instrumental in having happen. Because the minute you do, you're going to face some tremendous personal problem that may be insoluble for you, because you needed to be appreciated. You needed to have somebody say, didn't you do a good job? Thank you very much, Dr. Byerly, for treating for me. Yesterday I was dying of cancer, and today I'm whole and perfect, you know. Never, 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 never. We bless them and release them. And the quicker we bless them and release them, the quicker we get on to our other treatment work that we're doing. And the quicker we start reaping the benefits in our world from our excellent treatment work for ourselves. We wonder why our own treatments sometimes are ineffective. Well, it's ineffective because we forget who's doing the work. And that's the divine that's doing the work. We merely put the cause in motion. and we get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. I love that phrase. And we let the divine do that which it is programmed to do, that which it is its way to do, and then we're done. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Wonderful thing. Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. And praise for anything you've ever done doesn't belong to you. Praise for the work you do, the treatment you do, the gift you give, the help you give, it doesn't belong to us. That's just our personal self. Now, what does belong to us is the privilege of sharing and the privilege of being aware that it's done, and the greater privilege of keeping our mouth shut. And we don't need to hear from our people that we treat for to know that the treatment is done. If we don't believe in our heart that the treatment is done that they've come into us for, instantly when they receive it from us, then we're in trouble. We do not need a letter saying, I'm whole and perfect now, thank you. We don't need a donation from them saying, we want to help you continue your work. Our money comes from sources that we never know. And as I say, people cannot buy their way through this university. They try. They want to give us large amounts of money for certificates and degrees that we have them earn, but we won't do that. If they want to take the course, wonderful. We're working with them under every way, but we don't need to ever be bought in our world. And to be bought is to let our principles be taken askant, because we say, it's just found money. It's just found. Somebody lost it. You know, too bad. Finders, seekers, you know. Losers, weepers, you know. Finders, whatever it is. Keepers, losers, weepers. Remember these things, because they're very important. And they're not important to me, except for me. But they are important for you, to you. Have a lovely day. Do beautiful things. And know that you are a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious being. And I love you. I love you. I love you.